May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul was wrapping up his ministry. He was sitting in a jail cell, and death was close at hand. He had done marvelous things, influenced so many people for the sake of the gospel, and yet here he is in the jail cell. And he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I think by his description, we learn a lot about his ministry as well as our own spiritual journey. He fought the good fight. That implies that there was opposition and he had to do battle. And indeed he did. After his conversion, you remember that the leaders of the way, those that followed Jesus Christ, didn't trust him. And they had every right not to trust him because he was a persecutor of the church. Then when he went from town to town preaching the good news, he would often go to the synagogues, and his own people didn't trust him. And some would follow him from town to town and harass him because they felt like he was perverting the faith. Then he also suffered shipwreck. He was beaten numerous times, and now he was in jail and facing death. He also had what he called a thorn in the flesh or a thorn in the side. He prayed 3 times for God to remove it, but God didn't. And he learned that in his weakness, God is strong. So he suffered, but he finished the race, fought the good fight, kept the faith. He talks about finishing the race. All athletes then and now have to train. And he trained and he disciplined himself. He had been trained in sacred writings, the scripture of his day. He disciplined himself through the Jewish law. And he learned to trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Athletes today have to do the same thing. They have to train, be disciplined, and follow what their coach has to say. In our own journeys, we have to do the same thing. And we are trained through Holy Scripture. We hear it on Sunday, and hopefully we read at home. And then we live out our lives by Christian principles. And we too trust in the Holy Spirit. Paul had a cross-country race that he was running. There were highs and there were lows. There were obstacles. And yet he finished the race. And notice he didn't say, I won the race. I finished the race. And then he said, I have kept the faith. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says, it's not what we do that's the most important thing, although it's important. It's trusting in God, having faith in God. And that's where we have our righteousness. It's nothing that we do that will create righteousness for ourselves. But it's what God does for us. And we're to trust in him and his faithfulness. Well, we have cross-country races too in our spiritual life. And so we are also battling against opposition, those things that come against us, those obstacles that get in our way. And we're to keep the faith, to trust in God, and to persevere. Last week we heard about in Jesus' parable, talking about the widow who kept going and going and going to the judge and persevered in her prayers. And she was rewarded for that. And we're to persevere also, to not give up. In today's gospel reading, Jesus recognized that there were people in his audience that were listening to him that felt real good about themselves. They felt like they were spiritually sound, and they looked down their noses at others. I love this picture that Annika found for this Sunday of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I love it because you can see how arrogant the Pharisee is, and he's looking down his nose. We have that expression, don't we? Feeling like he was better than others. And he was praying, but he really wasn't praying. He was commending himself to God, telling God all the good things that he did, what a good person he was, how he tithed, how he prayed, how he fasted. He was comparing himself to others, and he was far superior. When we compare ourselves to others, one of two things can happen. One, we can feel like we're in a desperate place, that they're far superior than we are, or we can feel like we're far superior than the others. But when we compare ourselves to other people, what we're doing is often avoiding looking at ourselves honestly. Looking at our own flaws. Looking at our need for forgiveness. The Pharisee in Jesus' parable was going, "I'm not like that tax collector over there." Whereas the tax collector was praying to God, and he was not comparing himself to others, but comparing himself to God. And he was devastated. He knew he was in a need for forgiveness. And he said, "Have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." Jesus turned things around. The people at that time felt like the Pharisees were the righteous ones. The word Pharisee even means separated. They separated themselves from the population to keep themselves righteous and holy. Jesus turned that upside down, and it was the hated one, the one that most of the people did not like and felt like was a turncoat to his own people, and said, "That man went home righteous." At the end of the day, all we have to offer is ourselves. With our flaws, with our attempts to impress other people, with trying to gain success in this world, perhaps through riches, through a sense of importance. But at the end of the day, all we have to offer is ourselves. And Jesus encourages us to be honest with ourselves. Be who we are. There was a wonderful story that I heard about earlier in the week, and I'm going to share it with you. It's about the last empress of Austria. Her name was Zita. Zita, as a young woman, married into the Habsburg dynasty in Austria. The ruling party, if you will. Her husband Charles acceded to the throne in 1916. So she was the empress. After World War I, then they were deposed and sent into exile. So they went into exile. And shortly thereafter, her husband Charles passed away, and Zita continued to raise their 8 children. She never gave up her crown, though. She always felt like she was the Empress of Austria. What was Austria was then subdivided at that time into Czechoslovakia and Hungary, and with the Croats and the Serbs. All of her life, she felt like she was the rightful empress. She sometimes lived in Switzerland, sometimes even came over here to the United States and lived over here. She was not allowed back into Austria until she was 90 years old. And she went back. And then she died at the age of 96 in 1989. Her service was held at St. Stephen's Church. And they resurrected an ancient custom that they had had many years before. Her body was placed in a coffin, and the imperial flag was placed over her coffin. Her body was carried to the Capuchin church. The carriage pulled up in front of the church. A priest came out and knocked on the carriage and said, "Who's in there?" And a voice came out, "Zita, Empress of Austria, Queen of Hungary, Queen of Bohemia." The priest said, "I don't know that person." The carriage circled around the back of the church and came around again and came to the front door. Knock, knock, knock. The priest said, "Who's in there?" I have to read this. "Zita Maria della Grazia Adagonda Michala Rafia Gabriella Giuseppina Antonio Luisa Agnes." The priest said, "I don't know that person." The carriage went around behind the church and circled around again and came back in front of the front door. The priest came out and knocked on the carriage door and said, "Who's in there?" The voice came back, "A sinner in need of God's redeeming." The priest said, "Welcome." Paul had reached the end of his days, and we will reach the end of our days. And at that time, all we have to offer is ourselves. And God says, through Jesus Christ, that's enough. Amen.